Amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we go to our morning offering, or worship God with our morning offering, one announcement that I would like to share with you and a word of celebration. This year's Alleluia offering so far is $27,722. Thank you for your incredible generosity. Because of your generosity, we will be able to fund a confirmation treat for our confirmands. We will be able to enhance worship through sound and visual upgrades to our worship experience. We will also be able to start new ministries through inviting ministries and missions. Thank you. If you would like to participate in the Alleluia offering and did not do so, there's more information which can be found in the narthex or in the Chestnut Street lobby. Let us pray as we prepare to receive our offering. Generous God, we gather to offer our tithes and offerings, and we're reminded of the words of the Apostle John about the word of life. Just as your word brings light into our lives, may our giving be an act of generosity, a reflection of the abundance of your grace and love. We thank you for the grace which has been offered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we give, may we also steward these gifts wisely for the coming of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
You may be seated. Just a reminder that on first Sundays, children are invited to stay in the worship service instead of going to children's church. This gives them and us an opportunity to experience the sacrament of Holy Communion together as the body of Christ. Speaking of our children's ministry, I hope that you are praying for our children as we move through the season of confirmation. They continue to discern and learn and understand more about their faith and this church. So please lift them up in prayer daily. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate this day that the joy of the resurrection of Easter continues in our lives and in our world. The power of Easter was not relegated to one event or one Sunday, but continues among your people this day. May the victory and joy of Easter go with us every day as we remember that we serve a living Christ. We ask that your mercy and grace be with those who suffer, especially those that we hold on our heart today. We ask for your mercy for those who suffer illness and mourning and struggle today, those who have loss of hope and confusion. We ask your mercy and grace be with our students that are participating in confirmation. So this day we lift up to you Anna Kate, and Ava, and Emily, and Haley, and Iris, and Jace, and Jade, and Kennedy, Lydia, Maddie, Maggie, Maya, Miko, Merritt, Sarah, and Sarah Kate. Pour out your blessings upon them and this church. Pour out your blessings upon our city, our nation, and our world. This we pray in the name of the one who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. great abundance of windows and popular demand, the sermon series Word from the Windows has been extended for 3 weeks. Originally, I'd planned for the series to end last Sunday, but we're going to continue it with the two windows in the narthex, the open Bible, cross, and crown, and then we'll be reimagining the rich young ruler. For today, we're going to be looking at the cross and the crown. It can be found in the narthex facing 5th Street on the Chestnut Street side. It was installed in 1936 and was given in memory of what is considered to be the founding family of First United Methodist Church. That is General Daniel Clower Turrentine and Caroline Lucy Turrentine. Unlike the other stained glass windows, the person who gave this in memory of the Turrentines is not named. This window, as it depicts, suggests a cross with a crown. Both are symbols of the Christian faith. The cross reminding us of the crucifixion of Jesus, and the crown reminding us of the lordship of Jesus Christ. It was May 10, 1846, when General Daniel Clower Turrentine, who was Methodist, met with other Methodists to organize a Sunday school class. Now, we don't have the names of the four other Methodists that he met with. I guess that's why his name got in the window and theirs did not. But they organized a Sunday school. And with 14 children with the Turrentines, I am sure that that Sunday school was filled before anyone else ever came. Caroline Lucy was a leader in her own right. For that group which met on Railroad Street, which is now Broad Street, in a building located between 4th and 5th Streets. She was a song leader and prayer leader for the church. It would be 1848 before the church received their first circuit riding pastor in a building which they shared with the Cumberland Presbyterians. And then in 1854, the Methodists built their first church, and shall we say, the rest is history. And now to the scripture which inspired the window. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Hear from God's word. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn towards your word and we examine this beautiful piece of art, I pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love the Christian symbols of the church. Look around and they are everywhere. You'll see them in our beautiful woodwork, in the pyramids, in the needlepoint kneelers at the communion rail, in our stained glass, and even on the front of your bulletin. Symbols are an important part of our worship and our story, and they have been for centuries. In the early church, many Christians were illiterate. And even if they could read and write, they lacked education or lacked the time to do the research, to hear the stories, to learn the theology of Christian faith. So the learned clergy would teach Christians about their faith, about the stories of the Bible, with symbols. So each time that worshipers came into the church, they would see the symbols and be reminded of their story, God's story, and the message of hope and love for their lives. Symbols were also an important part of faith for the early Christians when they gathered. It was a dangerous time, and to be a Christian might mean that you would face persecution, even death. So they could use symbols to let others know who they were and where they were meeting. It might be a monogram, a cross, an ichthus, or a fish. And folks would know, this is where the Christians are gathering, or that person is a Christian. We have those symbols today, and symbols mark where we gather. You might notice a church by a cross, or for First United Methodist, you see the steeple when you're downtown and know this is a church. You might know a Christian by the cross that he or she wears around her neck. Symbols have been a part of the heart of Christianity for a long time. And so it is with the window we examine today, the cross and the crown. The cross reminds us of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he humbled himself to an obedient servant to death on a cross. We remember Christ's servant work for us and in our lives. We also remember the lordship of Jesus Christ with the crown. The crown is a reminder that Jesus is king and demands our allegiance as Lord of our lives. This is a symbol that you not only see in the window, but on our pyramids today, the chair in front of you behind the pulpit, you'll see it in Advent upon our chrismon tree. Now, that is a typical interpretation of what this symbol means. But the scripture reading for today takes a different take. The scripture that was associated with this window in the archives is a very different meaning. It talks about the crown of life that we receive, our reward for enduring temptation and following the work and will of God. So what does that crown mean for our lives? Well, a crown typically denotes royalty. Kings and queens wear crowns. Crowns will let you know when royalty has come into the room. You can recognize someone, a king or queen, by their crown. And usually the crown is passed from one generation to the next. A crown is passed to the prince or princess. For example, in England, King Edward's crown has been passed from monarch to monarch since 1661. So if there is an heir to the throne, the crown receives it. This is one meaning of the crown of life. As we are heirs to the work of God in Christ Jesus, and we demonstrate the characteristics of Christ Jesus, we may receive the crown of life as our reward. Now, James 1 is not the only place where you will read about the crown of life. You can also find it in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:10 states, "Fear none of these things that you are about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you in prison so that you may be tested. For you will be tried for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I shall give you the crown of life." The crown also symbolizes victory. Think about Greco and Roman culture. The one who won the race or won the athletic event gets a crown, much like in our Olympics, the crown of the olive leaves. So if you persevere, if you finish the race, if you win the prize, you get a crown. So if you persevere or win the race in temptation, you will receive the crown of life. This is not a crown that can be confused with our eternal life. We receive that through faith. So that's not what James is talking about. He's talking about the reward that we experience as we endure temptation in our lives. So now we know what the crown is, or the crown may be. How do we get there? How do we receive this crown that is promised to us from the letter of James? Temptation is everywhere we look. It's all around us. We all struggle with temptation. I struggle with temptation, and it is likely you do too. from greed and self-centeredness to sloth to pride to world-centeredness to lust. I could go on and on and on, but you wouldn't want to stay here for a sermon that long, so we'll end in the list of sins right there. But we all struggle with sin. We all struggle with giving in to temptation. So how do we persevere? How do we achieve that crown of life which James is talking about? I think we look to the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look to his example in Scripture. He is our model, for he wrestled with temptation himself. You can read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you will see Jesus being tempted. As he began his earthly ministry, he went into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days. And during that time, he was tempted by Satan, by food, by taking up to the edge of the temple where he was tempted to test God, by kingdoms, taken up to a mountaintop, saying that all this could be yours. And he remained strong in the face of temptation. So if you're facing temptation, I encourage you to begin with prayer. We pray today in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Jesus, including that in the model prayer, reminds us that we can pray to God to help us, to strengthen us, to bless us. Also, as you pray, I encourage you to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will provide a way out so you can endure it." Pray that God will show you the way out and that you'll be able to follow his leadings. Pray that God will open the door for you in the midst of your trial. Next, go to Scripture just like Jesus. Every time he was tempted in that time in the wilderness, he countered with Scripture. He memorized Scripture and threw it back at Satan. Memorized Scripture can help us. Use it to be a comfort, to be a guide, to strengthen you in your life of faith. And as you read Scripture and you spend time in God's Word, realize that many of the followers of the Lord were tempted just like we are. And they stumbled like we do sometimes. Let the Scripture be a guide to you. And with that in mind, finally, I say, remember, you are a beloved child of God. We all struggle with temptation. It is not uncommon. We all sin and fall and mess up. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But God is gracious, God loves you, and God will forgive you. And that is the good news. In Psalm 103, we can read, verse 13 says, "He forgets our sin as far as the east is from the west." That is a long way. Isn't God good? God loves you and forgives you and wants you to have a richer life, even when you stumble. Grace is possible. So therefore, remember, the crown that you see in the window is not a symbol of perfection. It's not the prize for being an A-plus Christian. Rather, it's a reminder that while you're struggling now, there are blessings and rewards in the midst of your struggle. Whether that be the strength to withstand temptation, the blessing of forgiveness, a deeper prayer life, a deeper strength in your life, a deeper understanding of Scripture. I don't know what that is, but there are blessings with the crown of life as you struggle with temptation. There is a reward. And as you are in the narthex, I encourage you just to take a moment and look at that crown, the crown of life, which is for you as you struggle. And today, as we have the sacrament of Holy Communion together, we remember that that for us who are less than perfect, that Jesus loved us. And that it was a body given for a broken, struggling world, and blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you join with me in the Liturgy of Holy Communion, which can be found on the screen or on page 12 of your hymnal? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Would you join with me now in the great thanksgiving? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You heard the invitation. All who seek to be in loving relationship with the Lord are invited to Christ's table. So the ushers will direct you the center aisle, and you'll return to your seat by the side aisle. You'll receive here at the communion rail and then be dismissed together as a group. I invite all those who are serving and leading in worship to come and be served first. One announcement that I failed to make tomorrow, Tuesday, will be the trunk show for Robbie's of Fayette. It will be in the gathering room. Look to your church newsletter to find out more information. All proceeds will benefit the children's ministry program. Also, if you would unite with First United Methodist Church or have a prayer need in your life, I'm available after the service to speak with you and pray with you. And don't forget, you want to come back next week as we look to the next window in our series. It is the Open Bible. It is for the window for all of you who have ever switched denominations and didn't start out as United Methodists. It's given in memory of a pastor who started out as a Baptist pastor and saw the light and became United Methodist. And now, if you would stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Amen.